Looking for truth, I found answers.
I thought I had it all figured out. Then I found purpose.
I was lost, but then I found a place to belong.
I was abused, but now I'm healed.
I was in chains, but now I'm set free.
I was bitter. Then I found grace.
A master builder,
may not have a lot of experience fighting, leading.
You shall not pass.
Well, good morning and welcome to the final week of our At the Movie sermon series here at Grace Assembly. My name is Jeff Little, and my role here at Grace is one of teaching and equipping. In fact, on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., normally I am teaching a class for middle schoolers and high school students called Worldview for Students. If you're wondering what we do, thank you very much. My students, ladies and gentlemen, over here. If you're wondering what we do in that class, the best way to summarize it is that we teach students how to connect their faith with the real world in which they actually live. We talk about things like science and history and culture and media and entertainment and economics and politics, all from a biblical perspective. Does anybody think that's a good idea? So that's what we do. And if you've got middle school or high school students, let me encourage you to bring them out next week to room 104 at 9 in the morning for our worldview class, and you'll be glad you did. Whether this is your first time with us for At the Movies, or you haven't missed a week, I want to quickly remind you why we're doing this sermon series in the first place. Why are we talking about movies in church? We're simply doing something that Jesus did all the time, and that is we are using stories that are familiar to our culture to illustrate spiritual truths. The Bible calls these stories that Jesus told parables. And these movies that we've been talking about over these last 4 weeks serve as sort of modern-day parables to help us more easily understand spiritual things. Now, I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed it. How about you? I think we've been having a good time here. So today's fourth and final movie in the series is called Captain Phillips, and the theme of our message this morning is spiritual warfare. How do we respond when the enemy attacks? Now, just like last week, some of the clips that we'll be showing this morning are a little intense. And so if you've got your young children with you this morning in the worship center, some things may not be appropriate for very small children. So just want to give you that disclaimer and make you aware that we have a kids service, Kids of Grace, right across the hub. And they're doing a kid-friendly version of At the Movies. And so just want to make you aware of that in case you want to take advantage of that this morning. Now, in case you're asking yourself, At the Movies has been great. What comes next? What a church. What are you going to do next? Well, I'm glad you asked. Starting next week, we'll hope that you'll join us for our next sermon series, which is called Follow. And over the last 4 weeks, as you've heard, we've had many guests join us and so many folks begin their walk and their journey with Jesus. And so now we want to talk about, well, what do you do next? I've begun my walk with Christ. How does my walk with Jesus, how does that play out in a practical way in my life? How do I keep my relationship with God growing strong? That's what we're going to start talking about next week, all right? So you won't want to miss that. Also next week, we're going to be baptizing folks in water, all right? And so if you have just begun your relationship with Christ and you're ready to make that public announcement that I'm with Jesus, all right, and do that through water baptism, just check that box on your connection card and someone will get in touch with you and give you the information about water baptism next week. And in November, wait, there's more, all right? In November, we're going to do a series called Q&A, which is exactly what it sounds like, questions and answers. And we're going to talk about any questions that you may have about faith or the Bible or family or future or pretty much anything's fair game. So take that connection card that you have this morning, and at the bottom there's a place for you to write a question. Write some question that you always wanted to know but were afraid to ask, something you'd like to hear addressed on a Sunday morning. And what we're going to do is take the most popular or the most common three or four, if you will, and we're going to talk about those and answer them on Sunday mornings in November. So that's going to be great. You won't want to miss that. So that's what's coming up. Did you get all that? Okay, good. Now back to the business at hand, At the Movies. Like our first movie in the series, which was Rudy. How many of you were here for Rudy? All right. Captain Phillips is a true story about the real life of a real person, a ship's captain whose cargo vessel, the Maersk Alabama, was attacked by Somali pirates in 2009. Now, unlike week one, we had Rudy Rudinger here on week one, right? I'm sorry to tell you that Captain Phillips couldn't make it this morning. He was a little busy captaining his ship, all right? But we are going to learn a little bit about Captain Phillips through this film this morning. What we're going to learn is that he was a husband and a father. He was just making his way through life day to day like so many of us do. He had one kid in college and others soon to follow. And he went to work on this particular day with a lot on his mind, expecting business as usual, just like you and I do so many times. But as he got together with his crew on this particular day and went over the route that was planned for this particular voyage, they realized that they were going to be going very close to the coast of Somalia and through very dangerous waters where pirate attacks are known to take place. His attention, his focus changed from the cares and affairs maybe of his life to being prepared. And he encouraged his crew to hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst. And in this first scene we're about to see, the captain and his crew are alerted by their ship's radar that there are two small but very quickly approaching craft on the horizon. And as Captain Phillips begins to realize that these approaching skiffs are likely filled with armed marauders, what happens next will forever change his life and captivate the nation with his tale of courage and heroism.
Shane, come up to the bridge.
Okay.
What's
Subcap, everything okay?
I don't like the look of that.
Yeah, Cap.
Chief, I want all your guys on station.
You still in the drill?
No, this is real world.
We got something coming up on our starboard quarter.
Got it.
Port 5 degrees. Let's see if they follow us.
Port 5.
Get the crew back to the muster stations.
Right. Attention all crew, return to your muster stations. Repeat, return to your muster stations. This is not a drill, this is a real world situation.
Yeah, Cap.
I want to come up to 122.
The helmsman of the bridge, second mate and helmsman of the bridge, please.
You're good. Bring her on up.
U.S. Maritime Emergency. Two skiffs. Can't tell how many they're carrying.
Copy that. There's no answer at the U.S. Maritime Emergency line.
Where's the UKMTO?
Right. What's up? We got two skiffs approaching. Get on the radar. Yeah. This is the Maersk Alabama. Here's the captain. UKMTO.
Operations?
Receiving.
This is the Maersk Alabama.
Our position is 2 degrees 2 north by 49 degrees 19 east. Our course is 180. Our speed is 17 knots.
We have two skiffs approaching at a distance of 1.5 miles with a possible mothership following.
Potential piracy situation.
Copy, Alabama. You should alert your crew. Get your fire hoses ready.
Follow lockdown procedures.
Yeah. Is that it?
Right. I'm relaying your transmission now, but chances are it's just fishermen.
Then I'll hear the fish.
Captain Phillips' story happened in the physical realm on a ship, but it reflects a very real story that happens every day in our lives, everywhere, in the spiritual realm. You see, we have to remember that what we see with our physical eyes is not all there is to reality. That's not all that's real. There is a spiritual realm that's just as real as the physical one. The Bible tells us that we are spiritual beings and that we serve a living God who is himself spirit. Now, unfortunately, the Bible also tells us that we have a very real spiritual enemy, and he's not here to fish. He's not here to play games. The Bible refers to him by many names: Satan, which means accuser, the devil, the deceiver, thief, the evil one, the father of lies, and my personal favorite, Beelzebub, which means the Lord of the flies. That's why Paul told us very clearly in Ephesians chapter 6, look at this, it says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. We have to put on all of God's armor, the scripture says. We have to equip ourselves so that we may stand firm against the enemy, like you heard the Varvel say this morning. Amen? As the captain of a ship traveling off the coast of East Africa, Captain Phillips had to do the same thing. He had to be prepared. He had to stay alert because pirates were often lurking in those waters, ready to attack. And the same is true for us, friends. We have a spiritual enemy who is poised to attack. He is poised to attack you and those that you love. He's ready to cause people to doubt their faith in God and to wander away. He's there to tempt us to sin, to lure us away from God, to get us to reject God or turn away from our walk with him, to do anything possible to hurt God's people. That's our enemy. That's why we must always be vigilant. We must always be on our guard. We cannot let our guard down. We cannot take the armor off. We cannot take a vacation. We have to be on high alert at all times. We must stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Because just when you think it's business as usual, that is often where your spiritual enemy is planning the next attack.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think you better get up here.
Coming.
Where are they?
Fourth quarter. 1.7 miles, Captain.
Guy's coming on his own.
Sound the alarm.
Can you use maritime emergency for me?
Got the ladder! Starboard 30 degrees! Starboard 30 degrees!
From me, which is supper time. If the pirates find you, remember, you know the ship, they don't. Make them feel like they're in charge, but keep them away from the important things like the generator and the engine controls. Stick together, and we'll be all right. Good luck.
How do we survive an attack by the enemy? First of all, we need to stick together. We need to stick together. Because the enemy loves to isolate us from one another, to get us off by ourselves so he can pick us off one by one. That's why it's so important that we stick together. Show me somebody who says they can serve God by themselves without coming to church, and I will show you a sitting duck for the spiritual enemy. Even the superheroes we talked about last week did not fight by themselves. And Captain Phillips told his crew, stick together and you'll be all right. Folks, we need each other. We need each other. That's why you need to come to church more than once a month, more than twice a year. That's why you need to find a place to serve in church, because we need to stick together. We need to work together. That's why you need to be committed to a small group, because we need each other. Are you getting the message this morning? That's why you need to be committed to your family and not give up on it and not walk away on your marriage, because you can't do it by yourself. We need each other. We need to stick together because we're not able to go it alone. But that's not the only instruction that Captain Phillips gave his crew that day. He reminded his crew that they knew the drills, that they had been prepared. They knew what to do. They knew the ship better than their enemy, and they knew the pirates' tactics, so they weren't unprepared for this situation. And do you know the same is true for us in our spiritual battles? Look at what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. You see, if we will remember our training material, and our training material is the Bible, God's Word, that's why you need to read it. so that you will be familiar with the enemy's schemes, and he will not be able to outsmart you. If we are familiar with our training material, the Bible, then we will not be unaware of how our spiritual enemy attacks. Now, we can go all the way back to the beginning, to Adam and Eve in the garden, and we can see how the enemy came to attack them, how he deceived them, and how he tempted them to question God and to question God's goodness and ultimately to disobey God and eat the forbidden fruit. And the truth is, to this very day, the enemy attacks us in much the same way. His game plan is simple, but it's very effective. How does our spiritual enemy attack? Anybody want to know? A couple of you. Okay, for the rest of you, this is free, all right? How does the enemy attack? Well, first of all, he lies. He lies. John 8:44 says that our enemy is a liar and the father of all lies. So all lies come from the enemy in the first place. Our spiritual enemy tries to convince us of things that are not true so that we will make bad decisions based on lies. That's the first tactic. The second tactic is he tempts. He lies and he tempts. In Matthew chapter 4, we're told of the account of when Jesus was tempted by the enemy. Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted by the enemy to use his power inappropriately and disobey God. Satan was trying to derail God's plan for Jesus' life. And in the same way, your spiritual enemy will tempt you to sin against God so that he can derail God's plan for your life. It's one of his tactics. He lies, he tempts, and thirdly, he blinds. The enemy blinds. Look at this scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Our enemy tries to convince us that God is not real. Or if he is real, then he is not good. So that if we will be blinded to the fact of either the existence of God or the goodness of God, we will not put our faith and trust in God. Now, this is a particularly effective tactic in the 21st century because our culture in this century has elevated man's wisdom above God's. Our culture has elevated things like knowledge and technology and science, and we hold those things in high esteem, while at the same time our culture scoffs at the idea of God, as if he's some sort of imaginary character or figure like Santa Claus. The naturalist and the evolutionist will tell us everything can be explained without God. You don't need God. God is a crutch for the mentally weak. We can explain everything without him. The atheists tell us you don't need God to be good. Just be good for goodness sake. I've got a whole sermon on that if you're interested some other time. But the truth is, the evolutionist, the naturalist, the atheist, they've been blinded to the truth by their spiritual enemy. That's why we need to stand the truth back up like the Varvels were telling us this morning. And finally this, he lies, he tempts, he blinds, and he steals. He steals. In the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, if you're familiar with that, you see that the seed sown along the path is stolen away from the birds, and Jesus explained, or by the birds, and Jesus explained that that's the enemy coming to steal away the word that's sown in your heart. Have you ever heard a message such as this one, or maybe one of the other At the Movies messages, and it immediately makes a difference in your life? Have you had that experience? You hear the word, and it generates faith in your heart, and it makes a difference, and you actually go and change the way you live. Maybe you committed your life to Christ, but it makes a difference in you somehow, and things are great, and you're following Jesus, but then it seems that almost as quickly as the change happened, as quickly as that transformation for the good happened, it's gone. It's left, the excitement, the zeal is left for some reason, and you go right back to doing life the way that you did before, life without God. You want to know what's going on there, friend? What's going on is your spiritual enemy is attacking, and he's trying to steal away the truth of God's word that was planted in your heart. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief, who is our enemy, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. Those are his tactics. That's why we must know our enemy. That's why you must put on God's full armor so that you can stand firm when the enemy attacks.
All right, look, this is the captain speaking. The pirates demand all crew members to the bridge. All.
Every crew. 1 minute, I will kill someone. 1 minute. Another minute, I kill somebody. I kill all your friends. 1 minute. I will no call again.
Cast off of a derby, son! Cast off of a no!
So good! Is it your plane? Is it my plane?
I'm doing the best.
I'm doing the best. Easy, I tell you. Easy.
Super! Cast off!
No.
shoot me.
Where is the crew, Iris?
I don't know.
That's all.
I'm here with you.
No. Where is the crew? I see nobody.
I'm the captain. I'm the captain.
You're gonna shoot somebody.
You should shoot me. It's my ship.
No, killing him.
I'm the captain. I'm the captain, not them.
What's this fucking?
This is between us. This is how you solve your problems. You said you just wanted money. You said this was just business. Is this business? Is this how you do business?
Now that was a pretty intense exchange. Can you imagine being the real Captain Phillips in that situation? Trying to talk down your captors. They've got guns. He's trying to talk them down, trying to save his own life and the life of his crew member. Can you imagine? Now, why would you show that this morning, Jeff? Well, it's because our spiritual battles are just as intense as that. And they are just as dramatic, if not more so. In fact, in 1 Peter 5, the Bible warns us this way. It says, stay alert. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Stay alert. Keep your eyes open. Don't let your guard down. Stay alert and watch out for your great enemy, the devil. Your great enemy, the devil. Not some little imp in a costume with a red costume with horns and a pointy tail and a pitchfork. That's not who we're talking about here. We're talking about our great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Listen, it would have been a mistake for Captain Phillips to have imagined that the Somali pirate threat was Captain Jack Sparrow and his bumbling band of the Pirates of the Caribbean. Savvy? That's not who's coming to get him. These are not the pirates who don't do anything that are coming to sing a happy song with Captain Phillips and his crew. No! These are very real pirates, and they're very dangerous. And our culture sometimes wants to make the devil out to be some kind of joke. Like he's a character in a Halloween horror film. But to think of the devil in that way, friends, is a mistake. The devil is very real. He's very dangerous. This is not a game, it's a war. And that's why in this scripture, Peter gives us three things that we must do to be prepared when the enemy attacks. Everybody say three. First thing, we need to stay alert. Stay alert. Why? Because it's easy in our culture to get distracted and to become complacent. In our 21st century culture, with all the distractions, we've got our nose stuck in our phones 8 hours a day, and I'm as guilty as anyone. It is easy to be distracted and not be alert. But we have to remember that Christianity is not a playground, it's a battleground. We must stay alert and be prepared for the enemy's attack at all times, just like Captain Phillips told his crew to do drills even when they were in port. Even when things seemed safe, he said, you need to be ready. And the same is true for us in our spiritual battles. Number two, first, stay alert. Number two, stand firm. Everybody say, stand firm. Stand firm. The reality is that though your enemy is dangerous, you do not have to be afraid of him. Why? I thought you just got done telling us that he's not a joke. He's not. But you don't have to be afraid because 1 John 4:4 says this, greater is the one who is in you than the one who is in the world. The one who fights in you is greater than the one who's fighting against you. Amen. More good news from James chapter 4. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will run away. He will flee from you. So stand your ground. Don't give in. Resist your enemy, the Bible says, and he will eventually run away. So stay alert. Stand firm. And finally, Peter says, be strong. Everybody say, be strong. Throughout Scripture, we are taught to be strong and courageous. How do we do that in the face of a menacing enemy? Well, we remember that God is with us wherever we go. Do not be afraid. I am with you always, Jesus said. I will never leave you. I will never leave you alone. So we can stay alert and we can stand firm and we can be strong. Now that sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? And you say, that sounds great, Jeff. You make it sound so easy. But how does that really play out in my life? Well, I'm glad you asked. Is your marriage on the rocks? In trouble? Do you see a breakup coming? Stay alert. Stand firm. Be strong. Don't give up. Are your kids wandering off and making bad decisions that are going to impact them for the rest of their lives? What do? You stay alert and you stand firm and you be strong. Are you facing temptations to sin against God, to walk away? Maybe you've only been saved a short time, or maybe you've been saved your whole life and yet you're facing strong temptation. What should I do, Pastor Jeff? Stay alert. Stand firm. And be strong. How do I do that? I stay alert by I stay alert in the wisdom that only comes from knowing God's word. Not in my wisdom, but in the wisdom that comes from the word of God. How do I stand firm? Standing firm doesn't mean to be mule-headed and stubborn. Wives, please quit elbowing your husbands. And it also doesn't mean, standing firm doesn't mean putting my trust in wishful thinking. That's not what I'm talking about. Stand firm in prayer as you proclaim the word of God. Stand firm in prayer. Stay alert in the wisdom that only comes from God's word. And finally, be strong, not in your own strength, because your own strength is not enough, right? If we could beat the devil on our own, we wouldn't be talking about this morning. Be strong in the power of God's might. Stay strong in the power of God, which we've already read, dwells in us by his Holy Spirit. Stay alert. Stand firm. Be strong. Come on, say it with me. Stay alert. Stand firm. Be strong. One more time. Stay alert. Stand firm. And be strong. That's what Captain Phillips did. He was aware of his enemy's schemes. He was alert. He stood firm. He resisted the enemy. He fought against the pirates' attacks. And that's what we're going to see in this next scene. Captain Phillips, in order to protect his crew, allows himself to be taken hostage on the ship's lifeboat. Watch this.
Hey, Ken, it's all over. It's all over, Captain.
Ken,
there's a reason your boss took off on you. This is coming back. This is the one to take on the Navy. He's gone. He's left you all alone. You had a plan, Captain. You had a plan to take my ship. And that didn't work out, so you thought you could take me?
Tell our writings.
And make a run to Somalia? They got half the U.S. Navy out there. You've got to give up. You got to stop.
I can't stop, Iris.
The Navy is not going to let you win. They can't let you win. They would rather sink this boat than let you get me back to Somalia. It's over.
I come too far, Iris. I can't give up. No.
Salt water would be good for your foot.
If you harm the hostage, we do not have a deal.
Look at the lengths that Captain Phillips was willing to go to resist the enemy. He jumped into open water and tried to swim to safety. He fought back with his fists when he had to. He was willing to do whatever it took. And our spiritual battles are the same way. It can be very intense and very painful, and the situation can seem very dire at times, but we've got to resist our enemy. Are you listening to me this morning? We have got to fight back and resist. Now, I don't know how this plays out in your life. Maybe you're constantly battling negative thoughts. If you are, what do? You resist the enemy. You bathe your mind in God's word, with God's truth instead of the lies that the enemy is telling you. And you seek God in prayer, but you resist and you fight back and you don't give up. If you start to believe that maybe there's a relationship in your life, maybe it's your marriage or with a parent or a child, and you feel like it's just done, it's over, and it'll never be restored, what do? You don't give up. You resist the enemy. You forgive the other person. You pray. You do to others what you would have them do to you. And you resist. You resist. If you feel like giving up this morning, what do? You don't do that. You resist the enemy to your last breath. You keep fighting. You remember that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Right now, some of you may feel like there is nothing you can do to change your circumstances, that you are trapped. And I think this scene from this movie is such a great picture of that. Where Captain Phillips is there in confined quarters in that little bitty lifeboat with three pirates. He's outnumbered 3-1 and they're all armed and he's not. And it would have been very easy for him to give up and just say, you know what, this is hopeless. There's nothing I can do. They've got me overpowered. But did you notice in the beginning part of that clip that I showed you, he peeks out the window and he sees the warships of the U.S. Navy out there. And he begins to talk to his enemy. And he begins to say, listen, it's over. You've got no chance. Did you hear what he said? He said, you had a plan, but that didn't work. And your boss has left you because he doesn't want to take on the Navy, so you might as well just give up because the Navy would rather sink this boat than let you have me. You tried to take my ship, you tried to take my crew, and now you think you're going to take me, but none of that's going to happen because the Navy's out there and they will not let it happen. Now, folks, you may feel trapped in the lifeboat of your life and the enemy's got you surrounded and you don't know what to do. But my friends, this morning, if you could just hold on, you can shout in a minute. If you could just peek out the window of your lifeboat into the spiritual realm and see the warships of Almighty God, then you can start to talk to your enemy and say, you had a plan for my family and that didn't work. You had a plan for my stuff and that didn't work. And now you got a plan for me, but I got news for you. God is not going to let you have me either. Because the one who's fighting for me is stronger than the one I'm fighting against. I'm going a little over time. Is that okay? The most important thing that you need to remember this morning, I'm going to bring this thing in for a landing. Remember this. No matter what battle you are in with your spiritual enemy, Jesus has already won it. The victory is already won. And that one thought can change everything for you this morning. We are not fighting for a victory. We are fighting from a victory that has already been won by Jesus on the cross. The Bible assures us of this in Colossians chapter 1. Look at this. For he, that is Jesus, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Notice how that scripture is in the past tense. He has already. It has already been done. God has already rescued us. We are not fighting for victory, but we are fighting from victory. Now, that doesn't mean that every battle is going to be easy. It does mean that because of the cross, you are already safe.
What happened to your head? Captain, can you tell me what happened to your head? It's okay. Take your time. There's a 2-centimeter laceration on the left eyebrow. It's okay. I want you to look at me and I want you to breathe. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is that a 4-centimeter gap? A little laceration there on the left temple? Okay. Very good. All right. You're doing great, okay? Did all this blood come from your eyebrow and your head?
What?
Did all the blood come from your eyebrow right here and on your head?
Well, not
all
that.
Of this?
No, not all of it.
Okay.
That's not mine.
Okay. All right. All right. Look at me. Okay. We're going to lay you down. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I want you to lay down nice and gently. Nice and gently. Okay. You're okay. I got you. There you go. Very good. Captain, you're safe now, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What a powerful picture of the safety and security that we find in the strong and loving arms of God. There are some of you here today, maybe for the first time in your life, and this story is a picture of right where you find yourself today. You feel dazed and confused and run over by life and all of the attacks of the enemy, hemmed in with no means of escape. I want you to hear the gentle voice of Jesus this morning. It's going to be okay. You're safe. You're safe. Now, how can Jesus say that? That's easy for you to say, Jeff. I'm not saying it. These are the words of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And how can he say that? He can say it because he lived a sinless life, because he fought every battle that you will ever face. He resisted every temptation without sin, and he died a criminal's death, and he rose from the grave victorious forever over sin and over death. That's how he can say it. Greater is the one who fights for you than the one you're fighting against. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible is John 16:33, where Jesus said this, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. I have overcome the world." The victory's already won, friends. It's already won. We're going to pray together in just a moment. I hope that you'll hold steady and stay with us. I want to show you one more video, but it's not from the movie. In movies such as these, we know that even though it's a true story, sometimes liberties are taken in order to make it a little more entertaining from a film perspective. But the story I'm about to show you is 100% true and without exaggeration. I want you to see what we've been talking about this morning in action as Bruce Richardson tells us his story of how he overcame the enemy. Watch this.
Has ever been shaken?
Prayer is the only reason I'm still here.
Bruce Richardson's story just might restore it.
It is simply a miracle. There's no way to explain it.
A survival story that even doctors find hard to fathom.
Dr. Pence looked at him and said, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I've never seen this.
Bottom line, Bruce should not be here anymore. A heart attack last month should have killed him or at least left him severely impaired. It happened, of all places, at church. He passed out during men's ministry.
And there were a couple of fellows in the room who have some military experience, and so they jumped into action and began to give me chest compressions, get 911 on the phone.
In that prayer room, Bruce was in cardiac arrest, one of his arteries 100% blocked.
And they worked on me for about 30 minutes, trying to get a heartbeat.
30 long minutes, no heartbeat, no pulse.
Usually if a person's 4 to 6 minutes without oxygen, their brain begins to die.
That's when Bruce's wife, Dee, arrived.
And Pastor Tim came over to the side of the car, and he leaned in and gave me the biggest hug. And he said, "I am so sorry."
But at Community South Hospital, Bruce essentially died again, 35 more minutes without a heartbeat.
It was bad. It was bad.
And then, as loved ones gathered in the hospital chapel, something amazing happened.
As soon as they went in to start praying is when his heart rate came back, and the nurses came down and told my son-in-law, "We've got a heart rate back."
Bruce came back. Doctors saved him, put in a stent, and then marveled as he made a stunning recovery. No brain damage, no need for rehab. He left the hospital less than a week later.
I saw Bruce's head kind of turn to the side. Now, he had he was on the ventilator. He had kind of a tube coming out of his mouth, though I thought maybe it just got pulled. Probably 15 seconds later, his head turned to the other side, which immediately I thought, okay, that's not normal. It was probably about 3-4 minutes later that I again saw Bruce lifting his arm up off the bed, which I got chills at that point because I just thought to myself, wait a minute, the math, 45 minutes of him without oxygen, what is going on here? On average, we have about 28% pulses back on cardiac arrest and about 7% with neurologic recovery. The majority of those, they got pulses back within 5 to 10 minutes of going into cardiac arrest.
For somebody that's been without oxygen for so long, for that to happen, it's only by the grace of God.
He fights for you. He fights for you. And you're safe. I'd like to ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. We're going to pray over a couple of things today, and I hope that you'll stick with me for this, because this is the most important part of the service right here. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to know that there is a battle that is the most important one for you to know about, friend. And that is the battle for your soul, for your heart. There are many of you here today, and you know that you're in a battle because on the inside, there's a part of you that's drawn towards God, drawn towards the message that you've heard this morning. But at the same time, you've got questions in your mind. There are some doubts there as well. There's resistance and there's fear. You need to understand that the Heavenly Father is reaching out for you today, and this is your moment and this is your time. Today is your day for you to get to be saved, to be safe, to run into the waiting arms of Jesus, who paid the price for your sin on the cross. Now, at the same time, your spiritual enemy, the devil, is also talking to you, and he's telling you lies. He's saying, none of this is real. It's just a stupid movie. Why would you listen to any of that? But what you need to know this morning is that God created this entire At the Movies experience just for you, so that you could find freedom through his son, Jesus Christ. So you've got a choice to make, friend. Are you going to leave church this morning, walk away, and just stay in the situation that you find yourself in right now? Are you going to stay in the battle that you're in right now with no hope of victory? Or are you going to surrender to the love of God? Are you going to surrender to the only one who can rescue you from the battles that you are facing? Jesus went to the cross to pay for everything you've ever done so that you can be made whole and so that you can spend eternity with him in heaven. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask, and we're going to do this quickly. Do you need to surrender your life to the one who gave his to save you? You've tried everything on your own and it hasn't worked. Are you ready to surrender to the one who can save you? That's Jesus. If that's you this morning and you say, I need to surrender. I need to give my life over to God, to his son, Jesus Christ. I need to be saved today. If that's you, I want you to just, every head's bowed, every eyes closed. I'm the only one looking around. Would you just signify that by raising your hand quickly? There's one, there's two, there's a lot. Praise God. Thank you for those hands. You can put it right back down after you've raised it. Is there anybody else? There's somebody else. I need to be saved this morning. I need to turn my life over. Thank you. I see those up there in the upper level. Anybody else this morning? I need to turn my life over to Jesus. I need to be saved today. Just raise up your hand quickly. Raise it up. I see those hands. You can put them down. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you so much for raising your hands today. Okay, we're going to pray a prayer together. And I want everybody that raised your hand to pray this prayer out loud with me, because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth, if you speak it out that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the Bible's promise. So I'm going to lead you in a quick prayer. And the Bible says if you will mean it in your heart, then you will be saved. And I'd like all of you believers who are here, all of you followers of Jesus, I'd like for you to pray it out loud along with them just to encourage them. Can we do that together this morning? All right? So all of you who raised your hand and everybody else to encourage them, just repeat this after me quickly. Say, dear Jesus. Come on, say it out loud. Dear Jesus, thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for dying in my place. And thank you for raising from the dead to win victory for me. I repent of my sin. I'm sorry. and I give my life to you. Holy Spirit, help me to follow Jesus. Give me the power to stay alert, to stand firm, and to be strong. Thank you for saving me today, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give God thanks for these that have given their lives to Christ this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now everybody hold steady, because we're going to pray. We're going to do one more prayer time here in just a second. But for those of you that raised your hand just now, let me encourage you, please, please, pretty please, on your way out, stop by the Next Steps kiosk that's out there in the hub. They've got some information for you to help you in your walk with Christ. So you've given your life to Jesus. What do you do next? They can answer those questions for you. So again, it's the Next Steps kiosk. It's right out there in the hub. Stop by there right after service. They would love to talk with you, okay? Now listen, are y'all still with me? Everybody else, it would be a mistake to preach a message like this and not take a moment to pray for people who are fighting spiritual battles today. Do you agree? Do you agree? So for all of you followers of Jesus Christ, and you say, Jeff, I'm finding myself in that lifeboat, and I'm surrounded by the enemy, and it's hard, and I need somebody to agree with me in prayer because I'm fighting a battle. Remember, we need each other. We need each other. All right? So if that's you, we're going to do this quick, okay? If that's you and you find yourself in a spiritual battle this morning and you're fighting for your life, for your family, whatever, I want you to stand to your feet quickly right now. Don't hesitate. Just stand to your feet right where you're at. You don't have to move. Just stand right where you're at. You're in a spiritual battle all over the worship center this morning. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I'm in a spiritual battle and I need somebody to agree with me in prayer. Look at all those standing. I think this was God's will for us to preach this morning. Amen? Amen? I'm in a spiritual battle. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Okay, those of you, followers of Christ, believers that are around them, you got somebody near you who's standing up. We need each other, right? Would you stand and go to someone and just lay a hand on their shoulder and agree with them, because the Bible says there's power in agreement, okay? And we're going to pray for folks together. So move quickly, move to someone who's standing, and let's just agree together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the warring angels of heaven. We thank you, God, that you're more powerful than the enemy that we fight against. And this morning we choose to look out the window of our lifeboat of life and see the mighty fleet of God's warships. They're ready to defeat our enemy and fight for us. So we stand in the gap. We stand in agreement with these who have stood to their feet saying they're in a battle. God, would you defeat their enemy? God, would you remind them that the victory is already won in Jesus' name? Satan, we come against you in the mighty blood of Jesus, not in our own strength. And we remind you that you are already defeated, that Jesus has already put you to an open shame. Touch not my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm, the scripture says. So we come against you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we bind your work in every life. You are not allowed to steal. You are not allowed to kill. You are not allowed to destroy, because the victory has already been won in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give peace to these who are battling. Lord, speak that word of comfort. You are safe. You're going to be okay. We ask it in Jesus' name. Please go ahead and continue to pray together for just a moment. The band's going to sing a song, and we want you just to take your time and pray with one another and encourage one another as the band sings, all right?
I'm so glad that we serve an awesome God this morning. I'm glad that we can look out our windows and see the heavenly vessels all around us taking care of us. Amen. We want to do one last thing before you go. If you could be seated with me just quickly here. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward. We want you to prepare in your giving. Also, for you that filled out, which everybody fill out your Connect card. Make sure you drop it in the bucket. And so we want to make sure we take care of all that. Again, if you're a guest, you're with us, make sure you go to the information tent outside. And so let's just pray over our offerings right now, okay? Lord Jesus, I'm so glad that we can give. I'm so glad, Lord, that the armies of heaven are on our side. I'm so glad that we have victory this morning. Thank you, God, that we can put our trust in you. I just pray you'll take this offering, bless it, use it for your kingdom. Lord, I just pray you'll take this offering so we can open more churches, God, like Pastor Phil, that we can do more things to win this community. So, Lord, we give you these tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said, amen. Hey, while the offering is being taken, we want you to watch this.
Well, that wraps up our series, At the Movies. We hope you enjoyed it. We've had lots of guests who have been here for these last 4 weeks. And so if you're asking what's next, here's what's next. Next Sunday, we start a brand new series, and the series is called Follow. We're going to talk about what it means to be a follower of Jesus or to strengthen your relationship with God. Next Sunday is water baptism, so if you're interested in being baptized, check that out on your connection card. But whatever you do, come back and join us on the journey of following Jesus. We want to invite everyone to be our guest tonight for our annual fall festival at Kelsey Farms in Whiteland. Our entire church will have the whole farm to ourselves. That's right, we rented the whole thing for you. There's a corn maze, rides for your kids. You can purchase food there. We're going to have a fire pit. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so we encourage you to come, and it's absolutely free. Did you get that? It's completely free because we want you to come. This is a great opportunity for you to meet people if you're new to the church or just to come out and have a good time with your family. We hope to see you there tonight. It's beginning to look a lot like, yeah, that's right, preparations for the Singing Christmas Tree Spectacular are underway. Our first rehearsal is Wednesday, October 5th at 7 o'clock p.m. in the choir room, and then every other Sunday starting October 16th. If you have any questions, or if you're interested in being part of it, contact Tracy Murray at tmurray@graceassembly.org. Merry Christmas. Now, if you are new to Grace and you want to take the next step, which we sure hope you will, the next step for everybody is to attend the Growth Track. The Growth Track is the best way to get connected, to get your questions answered, to learn more about our church. These 90-minute classes are offered Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock a.m. Now, the next Growth Track class is today, step one, follow. And this is the perfect starting point if you're new to the church and you want to start getting more involved. You can find more information out in your bulletin about the Growth Track. Hey, did you watch those debates the other night? Yep, I did too. And it's a reminder that the only solution for our country is prayer. We need God. So would you join me this Wednesday at the State House, the Capitol building, at noon for an hour of prayer for our country? Franklin Graham is traveling the country at all of the state capitals, calling people, Christians, to pray for our country. So would you join with me, join our staff, as we gather together at the State House this Wednesday to pray for America? The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and heal their land. If you believe that, join us in prayer this Wednesday. Thank you again for joining us today here at Grace, and we sure hope to see you next week when we start our new series, Follow. Now, as you leave today, let me leave you with a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May God lift up his countenance upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Have a great day. We love you.
You may stand. We will see you tonight at Kelsey Farm, next Sunday at Follow. We love you. Thanks for being here today. You're dismissed.